Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for your love and grace and mercy. Lord, we ask that that you would meet us in your word, Lord, that you would speak to us now, Lord, that we would put down the things of this week, the areas where we've been, where our minds can go. Lord, we just pray that right now you would bring us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to a place of rest and hearing from your word, Lord. I just pray that you would speak through it, Lord, and allow me to get out of the way. Lord, bless this time. Use it for your glory. May we be different. May we be transformed a little bit more because of the truth of your word being lived out in our lives, Lord. May we be not just hearers of the word, but doers. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, we're continuing on our second week on Stepping Stones of Faith. And I tell you, it was interesting as we went over last week with really where do we start in our faith and where does it all originate? And it comes from not doing, but it comes from resting in what Christ has done. And so that's where we started last week, was really finding rest and finding that position of resting in Christ. And then today, we're going to be looking at what it means to walk in faith. But it's really important that we remember as we move forward, all spiritual experience begins in sitting in our faith, in resting in what Christ has done and in his work. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop just simply in resting in who he is and who we are in him. But once we've found our identity and our strength in sitting in the finished work of Christ, then we walk in faith. And so we're going to be really looking at different scriptures and from Ephesians as we go through Ephesians of what that really looks like as it hits where the rubber meets the road in our lives. So walking is the practical outworking of our heavenly position in Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, it starts here. And this is the second area of really walking. And it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Guys, what I do matters. Our motivation of why we do what we do, it also matters. And so here's a scripture that's talking about walking, and we hit another one, Ephesians 4, 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Guys, one of the things that we hit in the men's Bible study this Sunday was really looking at, I mean, it started from Aaron was leading, and he was talking about all the sexual harassment that we're hearing about in the news. It's like this floodgate has been let open, and in the areas of Hollywood, in politics, news media people, just one after. It seems like every day we hear of one or two or three more people who have lived these lives of sexual harassment for years and years and years. And so one of the things we looked at the Bible study is, what is sexual harassment and how do we live the kind of lives where we're not tempted to be brought into those kind of things, and how do we deal with all this junk that's going around us, all the people we're talking. It's interesting, as I've listened to different people, especially many of my meetings during the week, I'm in at Starbucks or other coffee places where I'm meeting with people, and often I'll get there early or stay after the meeting, and I'll be to work on a few things, and so I can't help but listen and overhear other conversations. And right now, people are so volatile, so angry with friends and family members who they're coming into the coffee places with, having conversations. It gets into the area of politics, and all of a sudden, they're angry with each other. And often, people are leaving in anger, and voices are raised, And when you listen to somebody who's a Republican, they blame the Democrats, and they see all the Democrats who are at fault. If you listen to the Democrats, they see all the Republicans who are sexually harassing people. It's everybody. It's on all sides, and it's the reason is because mankind is broken. Sin has had its way, and there are consequences to sin. And sin doesn't go through this group or that group. Sin affects us all, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so we're right now, I mean, it can feel overwhelming. Right now I'm watching less news than usual because it's so depressing. And every time I take a glance at a news wall, all of a sudden it's, you know, more people, more things, more people doing bad things, and it can become really discouraging, and really starts to make you wonder, man, how do we get through all this junk? How do we get out of this place, and how do we live for Christ? You know, one of the things that we dealt with at the men's Bible study was, is there any middle ground? Is there any middle, when it comes to sexual harassment, when it comes to flirting, when it comes to, is there, you know, how, boy, we took that question and we're like, you know what? What does God's word say? What does God's word say? And so Ephesians 4:15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The word walk that's used here in this first verse that we just read, it's used 8 times in the book of Ephesians. 8 times we're called to walk in Christ, to be careful how you walk, to be aware of where we're going and how we're getting there. And it brings before us the area of Christian conduct, of how we live in this world that is broken and how we live a life that honors God and brings glory to his name. And guys, it's not easy. It's not easy because we're cracked vessels. We leak. In Uganda, where we lived for 6 years when we were missionaries there, we had a cistern that collect the water from the rainwater, and it would collect it. And the last thing you want in your cistern is a crack in the foundation, because then your water's going out. And yet here we are as Christians, as believers in Christ, as people who find our identity in Jesus Christ. But man, but we got a cracked foundation. We've got a cracked foundation. We still struggle with sin. So how in the world? I guess I get to the question of, how do we live for Christ? How do we walk in a way that honors God consistently? Ephesians 5:1-2 says this: therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I read that and I desire, and then I read verses like Matthew 5:48, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I remember for years reading that verse and thinking, okay, I can't be a Christian. How do we be perfect? How do we live in a way that honors God in perfection? And the key is therefore be imitators of God as dear little children and walk in love. We're not to walk in our own strength as perfect. Guys, we fail. We will consistently fail. Our perfection does not come from what we do. Please hear that. We are not walking in our own strength and in our own perfection because we're broken. We're leaking cisterns. We can't be perfect. So what can we do? We can't be perfect. Is there a secret to finding that out? Is there a truth we can hold on to? And one of the things that really came to my mind was nothing's done more damage to the Christian testimony than us trying to be right. Trying to be right and demanding others be right. So I want to be perfect. I want to be right. I want to do it right. I want to be right. And I expect others to be right. And we get lost in the religious behavior of the do's and don'ts. And we can crush the people around us. And not only that, as we're reading the Word of God, we can feel so discouraged and so broken because what we read and the decisions we're making aren't always going hand in hand. How do we process our own sin? How do we process the sins of others against us? Because if our goal is to be right and expect others to be right and demand that this rightness be around us all the time, pretty soon we're going to be so prickly, people won't get anywhere near us. You know, one of the things that really hurts my heart is I talk to people outside the church, people who haven't grown up in faith. And the one thing I hear over and over and over that's so consistent is that, why would I want to go to church where I'm going to be judged? As I'm sharing different things, and you know, I'd love for you to come and see our church and meet the people. They're wonderful. Well, why would I want to go to church if I'm not a believer? Why would I want to go to a place where I'm going to be judged? We're judged everywhere, right? The reality is that's the world's economy. That's the way the world sees things, is it's a constant judgment. It's a constant, do you match up? Are you good enough? Do you meet my qualifications for how I feel you should behave in this circumstance? And guys, it's nothing different than what we saw with Adam and Eve. It originated there, didn't it? Adam and Eve decided for themselves what was right and what was wrong. They chose, you know what? I'm going to be the one who decides what's right and wrong in my life. God's given me all this blessing, and he's told me one thing, one command. But you know what? I want to be the one who decides what's right and wrong. We ask ourselves, have I been treated fair and just? And we use that reasoning to justify our response in bringing the heat, in bringing the anger, in bringing, no, I'm going to prove that I'm right in this situation. I've been treated unjustly, and I'm going to make it right. I'm right here. You ever been there? Today? Doesn't take long for us to get there. Very little has to happen for us to take offense. And at that point, we decide, how's my response going to be? What's it going to be like? We ask ourselves, have we been treated unfairly? We use it as an excuse for how we respond back. But that's not our standard. That's not the Christian standard. We need to be asking, the question is, do I just want to be right? Is that all I'm shooting for? See, the right, do I want to be right? And am I willing to put being right behind something that's more important? As Christians, our standard of living can never be right or wrong. It comes down to the cross. Guys, think about this. Was Jesus right in how he lived and what he knew and what he stood for? He was right. And he was crucified. And he chose not to say, "You guys are trying to crucify me? I'm the only one on earth who hasn't sinned. And you want to crucify me?" If Jesus' goal had been just to be right, we're all doomed. But Christ's goal was to love, was to love others, was to give of himself, was to be a perfect sacrifice. And as Christians, we are in Christ, we're to follow his example, the example of the cross. And that means this, guys. This holiday season, guess what? You might do some nice things for people. We're all in a more giving mood, aren't we? There's something about Christmas that gets us kind of stirred into this heart and this mindset of giving. It's a beautiful thing. But I promise you something. If you give to people, some people will take advantage of you. It's a reality. If you're giving, some people will take advantage, and it's very easy to be undone, even in your giving. And at that point, you can say, "Look at what I did." And now you can start being offended, and now the goal can be to be right and be proven right and that they're wrong. But we see the example of Christ on the cross. We see an example of Christ who gives so much, who is the perfect sacrifice. Right or wrong is the standard of the world, but it's not what we're called to in Christ. Forgive as Christ forgave you. Guys, we're called to forgive as Christ forgave us. He didn't forgive us because we deserved it. Because did you hear that? Christ did not forgive us because we deserved it. Our lives are governed by the standard of the cross. And here it is, and the perfection not of our own, but of our Father's. We don't stand in our own strength. We don't stand in what we've done. We're called to do more than just what is right. And that's the example we have of Jesus on the cross. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, "Remember, therefore, be imitators of God." God, Jesus has given us the example. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. That's our example. That's how we live. And guys, once again, we got a taste of it at Thanksgiving, being with family and friends. People who have known us for years. We got Christmas coming up. We're going to spend more time with family and close friends. And those that we've grown up, those who've seen our rough edges a lot. Those who knew us way back when. And often when they see us, they still remember us as those kids, even though now we're adults. And so we'll go home and we'll be in these relationships that have these challenging dynamics to them. And it's going to be real easy for us to go back to old ways and to allow the old man to creep back in and for us to be offended quickly. For us to try and be right. And guys, there's no place where it's more important to be right than family. It's just a reality, isn't it? Okay, married couples. How hard is it not to be right? It feels so good in marriage to be right. You know what's really interesting is when you see the other person go through something and come to a place of realizing, "Oh, you were right," and then you can just be like, "Oh, yeah. Well, now that you noticed, I guess I am." You know, that fake humility that
What's the reality? There's something in us. It feels really good. Let's not lie about it. It feels good to be right. Why? Because quite often we're wrong. And here's the thing. How do you feel? How do we feel when we're wrong? And how great is it when somebody doesn't take what we've done that's wrong and rub it and focus on it and define us by it? We love forgiveness. We love mercy. We love grace. We love receiving it. It's very hard to give it in the moment. In the moment. So how do we walk in love? In rudeness, in unfairness. How do we walk in love? What's the secret of the Christian life? And we have to go back to where we started in Ephesians, sitting in Christ. We are called to be walking in our faith, but we don't walk in our faith in our own strength. We go back to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. Guys, that power is not our power. That power at work within us is Christ himself. It's his work. It's his strength that we find our identity, that we move forward and walk in his faith. We walk forward first by knowing who we are in Christ and having that rest in him. Now we find the strength and the character and the identity of who we are to be who we are. Guys, walking in faith means being who we are rather than the believing the lie and living out the lies of who we are and who the enemy says we are. We'll go more into that next week. But boy, I tell you, the power at work within us, verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's his power that works within us. We rest in Christ's finished work in us. So here's the key. Stop trying so hard. You want to walk in faith? Stop trying so hard in your own strength. It's not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Try harder. I think of my dad, you know, rub some dirt on it. Get out there. Try harder. That's the wisdom of the world, that we force our way through. We demand it of ourselves and others, and we will it to happen. Stop trying so hard. We cannot be perfect. If we don't sit, we can't walk. If we don't rest in who we are in Christ, we can't move forward without stepping on others and trying to be right more than loving, trying to be right more than establishing relationships and loving God and loving others as Christ loved us. Guys, the believer, I was trying to think of a picture of what it's like, and it's kind of like, as a believer, I can't move forward in my own strength, and it's almost as though I'm crippled in my sin. And my sin has crippled me, and therefore, what do I need to do? I need to get in the vehicle. If I want to go from point A to point B, it's like getting in the car. So it's like being crippled in who I am. And so I get in the vehicle of Christ, and now sitting in the strength of who, and my identity of who I am in Christ, now I'm moving forward where Christ is taking me, where he is going. And so I'm always on the move, and I'm going forward, but it always comes from that place of resting in him. The power of how we live comes from our identity in Christ. Ephesians 5, 6 through 10 says, Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, what are these things? Well, before that, it's talking about things like sexual immorality, impurity, greed, foolish talk, coarse joking. And it's saying, because of these things, the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're called to walk as children of light. We're not supposed to, we're told by God, don't allow the mindset of the world, the temporary truths that come and go, to define how you live. Instead, walk as children of light. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. What's good and right and true? Our Lord Jesus Christ. His word. How do we know how we should live? His word is clear. It's not about us. It's not about us fighting through. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Matthew 5:20, and I want to end with this. Matthew 5:20 says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, to fully understand this, we have to understand, who are the scribes and the Pharisees? The religious leaders of the day. They're the religious leaders of the day. They're the guys who their whole life is built on what? Holy living. I remember I was at a... I came to a ministry, and I'd been ministering for a while, and somebody had come in. This was years and years and years ago, and somebody came in, and they were going to start leading the ministry that I had been pinch hitting for. And the first thing that they said to me was, "My goal is to be the most holy person in this area." And my heart dropped, because I knew we got the wrong guy. Man. I knew we got the wrong. Why? Because his focus was on himself and what he could do and what he could be. And I was just thinking, oh my goodness, this guy looks so good on paper. But his goal was himself, rather than loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, strength, loving his neighbor as himself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. All of Scripture comes to loving God and loving others, getting our eyes off of ourselves and onto God and onto others, and how we can love and serve and give and do and be who we are in Christ. Well, here, the religious leaders who everybody in that community looked up to and said, that's the ultimate religious way to live. Those are the best people we have. Those are the most godly people we have. And there's, you know, there's all kinds of Pharisees and Sadducees. Some of the Pharisees were so well known for being humble that they would walk forward looking down, and they kept bumping into things because they're trying to be humble and looking down. And some of them would really focus on these beautiful prayers that they would say, these amazing prayers that people would just stand in awe of and say, man, that is a holy person. Listen to the way they talk. Listen to how they walk. Look at how they walk. Look at how they live, and look at how, what a high standard they have for themselves and others. And guys, it had nothing to do with faith. That style of living has nothing to do with faith. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I want to enter the kingdom. Guess what? I've entered the kingdom of heaven. Because guess, the kingdom of heaven is not just what we experience when we die. How does our righteousness exceed that of the religious leaders of this day, of our day? How does our faith become real, not just do's and don'ts? It comes from receiving what Christ has finished in his work to do for us and resting in that and moving forward in our identity of who we are. And as we move forward, as we're walking in our faith, to remember I have to keep going back each situation to Christ's strength and his work and his power within me. And so now the life we live in the body, we live by faith in the love of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So now we live the kind of lives that's not dependent on our own strength and not the way we do things. So what's that going to look like for us this Christmas season? Is there any relationship that you're going to be spending time with that person this Christmas time and you're nervous about it, you're worried about it, you're worried about how you're going to respond to them, you're worried about how you're going to judge them or how you're going to be judged by them and how you'll respond to being judged by them? My encouragement is that this isn't just something that we think about on Sunday morning, but that it can be applied to how we live in everyday real life, and that many of us can come to a new place of freedom this Christmas. And we can experience the freedom of being who we are in Christ and walking in our faith in such a way that isn't focused on being right, but it's focused on loving God and loving others. And guys, if we don't do it in his strength, if we try and do it anything in ours, we will fail. And I can't tell you how many times I've failed. I'm preaching this message to you. I can share this because I am a graduate of failure in this area. I have failed so many times in this area of my life. But I've also experienced times of great success, of great healing in relationships, of times where here the situation presents itself again, and God, give me the strength to love this person right now, more than wanting to be right. Help me do that right now. Just a silent prayer, getting the right heart set, remembering I'm going to his power at work within me. And it may seem like a small victory, but when you love instead of being right, it is a true miracle because it's something we can't do in our own strength. Because it's not just what's done on the outside, but it's the motivation behind it. It's what's behind it. And over I see that area of my life that comes into question. Why do I do the right thing? Is it for me? Or is it because of my love for God and what he's doing? Our life in Christ is the life of Christ working through us through his Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be a believer, is to have the Holy Spirit work through us. And it's a beautiful thing. As we close, I just encourage you, if God's putting it on your heart at all, to pray for a person, to pray for a relationship. Maybe it's something that's ongoing that's coming up this Christmas. Maybe it's a relationship of somebody who might even be passed away. But still, from the grave, those emotions bring a lack of freedom. The baggage is so heavy that even though they're passed away, it's almost like they control you from the grave through bitterness and angerness and resentment. And my prayer is that we would experience freedom in Christ because we're living out our identity in Him. And so this holiday season, man, I want to encourage you, spend some time before the Lord in prayer. And in those relationships that are really hard, don't try harder. Because it'll be the same old response. And it's so discouraging. But when we experience the freedom in Christ and what He's done and His power working through us, and we get to see those relationships, maybe it's not that their response will be what you want. But your heart can be right. Your mind can be right, even if they don't respond appropriately. And wouldn't it be great to be at peace in the midst of the storm? And we can have that in Christ Jesus. Him working through us. Us resting in our identity. And in that rest, walking forward in what He's called us to do of loving Him and loving others. It's the gospel, guys. It's living out our faith. It's the sanctification, the ongoing growing in our walk with God. We get to live that out in a way that brings honor and glory to God. But it doesn't happen because we try harder. It happens when we allow the Holy Spirit to indwell and work through us. And we trust in His strength. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are so good. I just pray, Lord, these truths are life-changing. We desire to be free in Christ. And so as we walk forward, let it come from our position of being seated in Christ. Let's move forward in a way that doesn't need to be right. But Lord, we pray that You would give us opportunities to love those who have brought discouragement into our hearts and minds. Father, may we see others not with our own eyes, but Lord, give us an ability to see why somebody would treat us or others the way they are, what's going on in their lives, that we would be praying for what's happening in their lives rather than being offended by what they do. Father, let us love with Your love and have Your vision and have Your understanding. And Lord, that Your strength would empower us to see things differently and to respond differently. Father, forgive us and thank You that You do for our sin, for where we've gone to our old ways of dealing with things. Thank You that You do not judge us the way we judge others. Lord, we need every bit of Your grace and mercy. And so, Father, we pray that as we so freely receive that grace and mercy, Lord, that we would be just as quick to give it away. And Lord, for those who struggle with receiving Your grace and mercy, I just pray that the truth that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus would be made clear to their minds and hearts, that they would not be undone by their own sin, that they would not be paralyzed by failure. But Lord, we just pray that who we are in You, we would rest in, we would move forward in, and we would see You do a mighty work in us, through Your strength and Your power, Lord. Show us how to live in a way that brings honor and glory to You and the focus on You. Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. We desire to be ambassadors who represent You. Show us how to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great week, you guys.